All right, good morning. I confess that last week when I was here, I went home and I was like, church is hard. It's different. It's not what I remember, but it was also good. It was sort of one of those bittersweet things. If you're wondering what my sweatshirt says, it says Jesus and therapy. I've had a lot of Jesus and a lot of therapy over the last 4 months, and I thought I would brag about it just a little bit and say, this is good. So now you can focus on something else other than what does her shirt say? I woke up and I was all ready to get like dressed up nice for church, and then I was like, I'm kind of reluctant to get rid of my quarantine wardrobe of like comfy pants and sweatshirts, and I was like, I'm gonna wear whatever I want to church today, including my sweatshirt. So anyway, I am so nervous-sided to talk to you about this morning because this has been on my heart for a while, and I'll get into that in a second, but I want to say, if you have not heard any of our previous four messages on spiritual disciplines, I want to highly, highly, highly encourage you to go back and check those out. It was not last week. Last week, Mark gave us another great message. It was different. We took a pause from the spiritual disciplines, but I really encourage you to go back and listen. All four of us on the teaching team have preached a message, and it's super important. Those four spiritual disciplines, because they are the foundation, I believe, for where we're going next in the spiritual disciplines. Those four that we talked about, prayer, meditation, fasting, and study, those really kind of set the stage for us to receive from God. I was listening to Nick's message yesterday when I was walking around, and I was like, dude, this is awesome. His message was awesome. And it set me up perfectly to talk to you about understanding, because he was talking about how we kind of get dropped into a new world and we need some understanding of how to navigate that. Anybody watch his message or listen to his message last week? It was really good. In fact, I think we all did a good job, the first four messages. But I want to say that if you have not heard those, please go home and re-listen to some of them, because they will help make today even make a little bit more sense. And I really believe that as we set ourselves up to hear from God, it's not about the goal of the spiritual discipline, but it's about positioning ourselves to hear from God, that as we do that, we will find this spiritual discipline a whole lot easier. Because this spiritual discipline that I get to talk about is submission. Yay! Everybody's excited. I hear that. Submission. All right, the S word, the word that brides trip over during the vows. Does anybody? I will submit to you. And the word that can make us cringe or get angry, or it's the word that can make you even feel justified. Right? Okay, this word is a very, very touchy word, and I 100% volunteered to preach it. I was like, that's me, I'm on that one. And the reason is because the enemy, the world, has corrupted this word. And it makes it very hard to hear what I'm about ready to tell you out of the mouth of a man. And it's not because they're not anointed to share it, it's not because they can't. It's because I know what the world has already done and what perception you already have in your mind. And I want you to hear about the joy of submission from a woman. And I am so fired up about this, I hope you can tell. All right, so I want to shed some Jesus light on this word, and my prayer is that you will receive a revelation, a new way of thinking about something. Because nothing keeps us in bondage quite like religion. And no spiritual discipline has been more abused and misused than submission. And we become shut off to this word because of the abuse of religious people. Right. Truly, it's religious people that have abused this word so greatly. And my hope is that we can have this healthy conversation and we can uncover and we can release the power of abuse and rebellion, because there are two pieces to this, abuse and rebellion, and that we can receive the freedom that God intended for us with this word and with this discipline. And Richard Foster, who wrote a great book on this, says that every spiritual discipline has a corresponding freedom. We got to understand that the spiritual discipline itself isn't the goal. Excuse me, the freedom is. And before I get into submission, because I am going to get into submission, I want to talk to you about what it means to be in freedom or slavery. All right? And you might think you understand this, but I'm hoping to give you maybe even a different perspective. Basically, being a slave is being without choices. Every decision leads to the same outcome. All right? It's like picture being, there's a big, huge cage that you are living in, a big locked cage. There's a whole other world on the outside of this cage, but you are inside this cage and you are locked in it. It doesn't matter what you do inside the cage. You can go left, you can go right, you could say this, you could say that, but you're still in the cage, right? That's what it means to be a slave, is that you are stuck in this place. And you might be looking for a different outcome by different behavior, but you're actually not ever going to receive a different outcome because you're still stuck in the slavery cage. And before Christ, we were slaves to sin. So every decision that we made led to nowhere but eternal separation from God. We were all been stuck in this cage. And then freedom. And freedom essentially is just choices with different outcomes. It's like Jesus, it's like God unlocks all of the cages and he offers us something different. The word says that Jesus came to set the captives free. Guess who are the captives? We are the captives in these cages. And he came and he unlocked the door and he said, you now are free. You can have a choice to actually walk out of this cage. Do you want to? And our first actual choice, our first actual free choice is to agree with God or not and say, yes, I want Jesus in my life. Because that choice has a dramatic outcome change. We go from being inside the cage to outside the cage, and we have our minds open to a totally different world with a different scenery. This is what Nick was talking about, and we need maps to guide us through this whole different place. And he opens up these million new choices. It's called freedom. And all of these choices do have life or death consequences, but we have to understand that as we are free, the outcome is eternal life with God. We are free. Sadly, many of us still live as slaves, however. And we choose to accept the slavery, and we choose to live in the cages that we are accustomed to. Every cage that we find ourselves in actually has a door, and it's opened, but not all of us know that there is a door, and not all of us know that we're still in a cage, and not all of us are willing to actually walk through it and say, there could be something different on the other side of this. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit, and wherever he is Lord, there is freedom. Wherever he has met you in your cage, you have freedom in that cage. You are free to go out of it. You no longer have to make a decision that's going to lead to death. You have a choice to make a decision that will lead to life. Wherever he is not present, we are not free. And I will tell you through a little bit of Jesus in therapy that I've had, I have been in some cages. And he showed me the way out. He said, Jill, there is actually a way out of this. I'm unlocking the door. I have unlocked the door. But now I want you to see how you can get out of this. You don't have to stay as a slave to this. You can be free. So what does this have to do with submission? Well, it has everything to do with submission. Before I get to that, I want you to do me a favor and indulge me for the next minute or maybe forever. I don't know, depending on how good I do today. Take what you have, your understanding of what submission is. I want you to take that and I want you to just set it aside just for a little bit. Pretend like you don't know anything. Pretend like you've never even heard the word submission, and you're like, cool, what's this all about? All right? So set this aside. And at the end, I'll give you the opportunity if you really want to pick it back up again. But I'm hoping that maybe you'll be like, huh, I don't really need that old definition anymore. And I promise you that it's possible because if this girl who was brought up to be very strong, independent, opinionated, I don't know if you've noticed that or not, with also the attitude of I don't need a man to tell me what to do, if I can do it, you can. I promise you. And I'm talking to men too. Because submission is freedom for everybody. It's not just submission, freedom for women. It's freedom for men. So that's another piece of the, I'm going to set that aside. Well, the Bible doesn't tell me I have to submit. Oh, just set, wait. Just wait. So set that aside over there and say, all right, Jill, bring it. I'm about ready to give you some information that you can choose to pick up or not. Okay? Many of us are crushed under the weight. Hear this. Many of us are crushed under the weight of having it my way. Having everything my way. We are crushed under that weight and that pressure. And I want to read you a story. And I am so excited about this story. This is a story about two friends in summer camp. Are you ready? I'm ready. Okay. One summer, two friends went to camp. One chose to attend camp wear a mask. Camp activities included sewing circles, big spaced circles, of course, fabric shopping, design class, and researching mask wearing, where they learned from top experts in the field. The other friend chose to attend a different camp across the river called Camp No, I Won't. Their camp activities were equally fun, but very different. They played games like Capture the Mask and Tug a Mask. And at night, they built bonfires and fed the fire with masks. They also did research and attended research classes where they learned from top experts in their field. Both friends truly enjoyed camp. They didn't see each other much due to camp activity, but one day they found themselves grocery shopping at City Market. They were in the cereal aisle, and of course the friend from Camp No I Won't was going the wrong way down the aisle. And when they recognized each other, it took the friend from No I Won't a minute longer to recognize the other one. They smiled and they went to go shake hands. But then they realized that they'd attended different summer camps, and so they stopped. Immediately, they started talking at the same time, telling each other all about their summer camp experience. What they've researched was definitely a hot topic in this conversation. And at the end of their conversation, neither one actually felt like the other had heard them or cared at all about their camp experience. And at first, they were so sad. They missed each other, and they really wanted their friend to attend their summer camp. They were determined. As they periodically saw each other, they continued to talk over each other and about why their summer camp rocked. But instead of convincing each other, they got angry because they weren't being listened to. And sadly, they never reminisced about the camp they attended together last summer, Camp I Love Jesus, where they both had so much fun. So when a mutual friend suggested that they all meet up at Camp I Love Jesus, both friends thought, that was a fantastic idea, until they realized that in order to get into this camp, they had to walk through the main entrance called Camp Submission. And that camp asked you to take off your other camp shirts. Well, neither Camp Wear a Mask nor Camp I Know I Won't wanted to do that because they'd grown so comfortable in their new camp shirts. So they snuck in the side door. They were still allowed, of course, into Camp I Love Jesus, but they were frustrated and distracted by all of the different shirts. And some were from their camp and some were not. The camp activities were so different, and yet they were kind of similar. They certainly couldn't agree on what fuel to use to build the campfires for s'mores. And there were so many talks about research. Eventually, it got too difficult, and they stopped trying. And the friends, they really weren't friends anymore, and they decided to go back to their own camps and hope that they could maybe do some of the I Love Jesus activities there, inside their Camp Wear a Mask, or inside Camp No, I Won't. The end. How many of you guys have gone to one of those summer camps this summer? Thank you for admitting that you did. I appreciate that. I have. I've been to one of those summer camps. And all it did was it make me feel burdened to make everything and everyone go the way that I think that it should. And I'm not making fun of this. I'm actually very serious about it. We are slaves. We are trapped in a cage called my way. And my way is right. And how do I now convince other people that this is true? And you guys, I found this very exhausting and actually impossible to do. And our lives begin to revolve around this burden to get my way, to get my research out, to get my way that I am so convinced is right. I am going to let you know that my summer camp rules. Come to my summer camp. It's actually really fun. And we're right. And guys, this is not the yoke that Jesus offered us. His burden is easy and light. If you're feeling really burdened, I'm guessing you picked up the wrong yoke. You picked up the wrong yoke of my way. And God offers us a spiritual discipline of submission, which is the freedom, the door opening, the freedom to choose to lay aside the crushing burden of my way and instead submit to Him and to one another. Take off your camp shirt. I'm not kidding. This is freedom. We've been released to drop it. By dropping it, we are truly free to see other people, to hear other people, to love others, to empathize with others, and to value others. Do you know that churches split because people do not have the freedom to give in to each other? They don't have the freedom to walk through the door of submission and say that this camp is where I want to be and I will take off this camp. And it's not because this camp has no value. It means this camp has ultimate value. And are we willing to submit to Camp I Love Jesus and let go of our Camp Republican, Camp Democrat, Camp Mask, Camp No Mask, Camp Black Lives Matter, Camp Police Lives Matter? Why? The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, and you know how he does it? By dividing us. And you know what? It's because we refuse to engage in and receive the gift of submission that God has for us to say, you have the freedom to drop it. You have the freedom to listen to other people. You have the freedom to not make the world your way. We are slaves to my way, and our culture says that submitting and releasing our will is a sign of weakness. That is garbage. That is garbage, and we should be fighting against that. Jesus did the most powerful, world-changing things through acts of submission. You guys, he released his spirit. He submitted himself to the Father's will. He went up on a cross and he died because of this, and it was his act of submission. He submitted to the people that came and took him away. He submitted to the people that put him on the cross. And all of this was an act of submission to God and the Father's will. He set aside his right to come off of the cross if he wanted to. He set aside his right as the Son of God. And he said, not my will, but yours be done. I'm going to set aside my rights. And I'm going to do what the Father has asked me to do. And I can't tell you how many people have said, well, Jesus is in my camp. No, he's not. He is not in your camp. You go to his camp. Amen. You go to his camp. He doesn't come to yours and justify your camp. You go to his. Yes. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. He never lost himself in that whole process. He never said, I am not this. He said, I submit to the Father's will. And his heart was always free to obey the Father, and his heart says yes. Does yours? He didn't stand up for his way. Every time he took a stand, it was for the Father's way, never for his. And when he submitted to other people, it was because it was what the Father had said. It didn't mean that he didn't stand up for what was right. It meant that he loved people in the process. He stood up for the kingdom of God, and that was his kingdom. It wasn't the kingdom or camp of wear a mask or not wear, or nor I won't. And our hearts, do we have a fake yes happening? Do we say yes with our mouth and even sometimes with our actions, but inside your heart there's anger and bitterness and resentment because you actually really meant no? Fine. I'll do it. That's not submission. That's not freedom. That's rebellion. And outwardly, we might do what people ask, but inwardly, we're in rebellion to God and to others. And you guys, Jesus is always about your heart, and he has never demanded your submission. Never. He has never demanded your submission. And I'm going to, scripture rocks this, and I'm so excited to share this with you, because you might be like, no, it doesn't. Yes, it does. Remember, we set that aside. All right, so listen to what it says. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to him, to God. Imitate God. How? He offered his life. He set aside his rights. He wasn't a slave to my way. Ephesians 5:21, it says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. All Christians submit to one another. Why? Because of your reverence for Christ, because of your trust for Christ, for your faith in Christ. This is why the first four are so important. If you don't have faith in Christ, if you don't have trust in Christ, if you haven't allowed him to bring understanding, you can't submit to him. It's become scary. Colossians 3, verses 18 through 22, and Colossians 4, verse 1. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and never treat them harshly. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, employees, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them at all time, not just when they're watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Masters, bosses, be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master in heaven. This teaching is revolutionary. And I'll bet you we haven't had this revelation, and I'm so excited because this teaching spoke directly to people who first century culture gave no choice whatsoever. Women, children, and slaves. They had no choice. And Paul came and gave them a personal moral responsibility to these people who had zero legal or moral status in their culture. And he spoke directly to them, and he said, submit. You guys, they were forbidden to make decisions and think for themselves. And Paul was offering them freedom from that. He wasn't commanding that they submit because it was demanded or that anyone had earned it or that it was their station in life and stay there. He offered them the choice out of submission to reverence to Christ. They were given a choice to lay down their rights, and they were given freedom. They were told, you actually have a choice in your heart of how you're going to do this and live this life. Are you going to submit or are you going to rebel in your heart? Yeah, outwardly, it probably didn't dramatically change their behavior because they were still doing what they had been told to do. But inwardly, and I'll bet you their countenance changed completely because all of a sudden, instead of you ungrateful, it's like, Lord, I choose to honor you in this and I will do this with joy and work unto the Lord, not unto this man. I choose freedom. Listen. The fact that it says slave in there does not say it's an excuse for slavery. You have to understand they were talking to a specific culture. But that does translate to bosses and employees. It's a work relationship. And submission isn't about obeying everything somebody says. It's about the choice to release my burden of having it my way. It's not saying what I think, what I feel, and who I am doesn't matter. It says you matter. And I want to hear you, and I want to see you, and I want to value you. And I don't want to demand my way. And then it goes to the dominant partner. Husbands, love your wives. Fathers, don't provoke your kids. Masters, treat your slaves fairly. You have to understand that this required tremendous change. OK, okay? Because this was not normal for first century culture. The word submit isn't said directly, but I think that's exactly what was being asked of those people. Because they had to set aside their rights to control and to dominate women and children and slaves. They had to set, that was their right in first century culture. They could do whatever they wanted because those three groups of people were their property. They could divorce them, they could sell them, they could beat them, they could do whatever they wanted. That was their right. And Paul said, mm-mm. I want you to set aside your rights to control and dominate. And instead, love them, don't provoke them, and treat them fairly. You have a choice. You have a choice to step out of the my way and come into God's way. That, to see them, to hear them, to value them. And that is submission. Isn't that beautiful? Submission is freedom. Freedom from being a slave to my way. Deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him, submit to him daily, take off your camp shirt. Because his kingdom doesn't require shirts. We feel vulnerable without them. Think about that. We feel vulnerable without them, but his kingdom does not require a camp shirt. It actually requires, and it's really necessary if you want to experience real kingdom community, it requires that you take them off and you set aside your own rights. Danny, if you want to come up, I'm going to close with this. How can we truly love others without submission? Because when we're a slave to my own way, we can't see or hear others because we are adamant trying to make it happen my way. If we demand that others wear masks or demand our right to not wear one, where is the room for love in that? If we continue to defend our position that we are not racist, how can we truly hear those that have been really wounded by racism? I hurt because I see so many people wearing their camp shirts and saying, Jesus wears my camp shirt. That's a lie. His kingdom is not of this world. He has his own camp. And it supersedes all of the other ones. It's greater than and it's better than all of the other camps that we have found ourselves in. And for us to truly receive God's love and truly understand how to love others, we have to be willing to take off our camp shirts and say, I submit to the Father and his will. And if you don't want to wear a mask, that's okay. And if you want to wear a mask, that's okay. I might still have my own opinion and my own thoughts to it, but I don't have to make you come to my camp. You have the freedom to live in yours. You have the freedom to take off every shirt. Because we don't just wear one. We have 100, at least. And all of those are actually cages that we've been locked in, and we have become a slave. Think about that. When you look at everything from the eyes of a mask or no mask, how does that affect every decision you make? Going in, interacting with people, going to a grocery store, going out to eat, all of those things. Now, I know it's not something we can avoid necessarily, but man, we can get angry. Because in our hearts, we have rebellion, both ways. Because our hearts haven't said, I am submitted to the Father, and I am submitted to one another out of reverence for Christ, out of my relationship and trust in his kingdom. And not this one. Submission is God's gift to us. It is his gift for us to release the burden of my way, this crushing weight. And you know what? It is difficult because it's countercultural, just as much as it was in the first century. What if when we saw something that we disagreed with or met somebody that we disagreed with, we said, tell me more. Help me understand. instead of, that's not true, I'm not like that, let me tell you what is true. Jesus would never say that. Jesus wouldn't do that. Because he doesn't. What if when we heard, we said, tell me more? That's an act of submission. That's an act of love to other people. And submission will change us, and it will change the world. It will change our relationships. It will change our families. It will change our churches. It will change our culture. You want to know how I know that? Because Jesus' act of submission changed the world. It changed the world, and it brought freedom to the world. Guys, the door is open to the cage of my way. The door is wide open. And I want to encourage us to walk through it and say, I want to be free from my way. And I want to do it his way. And I want to take off my camp shirt and submit one to another. So I'm going to finish with, you remember that thing that you put on the side that said, this is what I thought submission was. Do you want to pick it back up? Has it been working? I know for me, I don't want that same old oppressive, abusive, twisted idea of submission. I want to embrace freedom that Christ gives me. I want to go into his camp. And I want to leave the rest of this behind. And I want to love every person that walks into his camp, whether they're wearing a shirt or not. Because I don't get angry when people come in with their shirts on. But it's harder to have relationship with them. For sure. So I want to pray for us. God, all I could say is thank you for showing us what it means to truly submit. For showing us what it means to set aside our own rights and our own thoughts and our own opinions and say, I submit to the Father's will. God, you gave us the greatest, most life-changing, world-changing example. And Lord, I want to submit to you. Not to submit to a camp. I want to submit to you. The more that we know you, the more that we trust you, the more that we can release our own way, and we can receive your way. God, help us to submit to you and to your ways, ultimately, so that we can submit one to another. We can see and hear and love and value people. We can freely submit to others in relationship. You are the king. You are my king. And I take off my shirt because I want my allegiance to be to you. I want my submission to be to you, no matter what. Thank you for being good. Thank you for being trustworthy. Thank you for being one that I can easily and freely submit to. Maybe not easily, because I still battle my way. But God, that's my heart. That's what I want. Because you are worthy. You are worthy. And we love you. In Jesus' name.